Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. Of course, I am one of your hosts, Will, and this is Ben.
Hello.
Everybody, we got a big week to talk about. This past week was absolutely insane. Week 14 didn't leave any crumbs for any type of doubt as to what we're looking at for playoff season. High scoring games all around. Ben, I'm going to let you kick it off, and we got some stuff to talk about.
Yes, sir. This was by no means a boring week whatsoever. And there's a couple of games that I really want to get into. The first one I think that I really want to get into, and I can't pass up on the opportunity to talk about the Packers and at all, ever. Like, it's a big thing, and it's not just because they're my team. It's just because they almost always put on a good game. I know you may disagree with that, sir, but I'm a stand on business.
I deeply disagree with that.
Yeah.
They don't almost always put on a
good
game.
We're all about Caleb Williams and the Bears coming into this one, sir, but I am so glad to say you were wrong. So
almost wasn't.
Hey.
Y'all had a scary moment there in the fourth.
We definitely did.
Yeah, y'all was in jeopardy there. So I wasn't wrong about Caleb Williams and the Bears. I just, you know, the Packers just so happened to pull it out.
We just happened to be better.
Congratulations to them. Congratulations to them. Y'all are not better.
We took number one in the NFC North. Let's start with that. We took number one in the NFC North. Now, it's been a rough road this year. The NFC North has been packed with a lot of good games, a lot of talent, including the Bears. I'm not knocking them. I am admittedly actually kind of happy to see them in second place. The Vikings have fell just like I thought they would at the beginning of the year. If I recall correctly, I said it was going to be the Vikings, the Bears, the Lions, and the Packers. That was my envisioned view. It was going to be the Vikings in fourth, the Bears in third, the Packers in second, and the Lions in first. So I'm slightly off, but in a good way for me, as the Packers are now number one. And with us wrapping up the season, we probably have secured the number one spot unless we trade it to the Bears. The Vikings have definitely fell. There's no question they're not coming back. Lions are struggle busing it real bad. So let's get into the game. One of the games that matters in these last couple of weeks for the Packers and the NFC North. The Bears put on a good show. Don't get me wrong. Caleb Williams did his thing. Unfortunately, he came up against the Packers defense. And one of the problems that the Packers defense can create is they create a lot of pressure, and they have a lot of different looks that they throw at you. And you have to compensate for the pressure that comes from not just from Rashawn Gary. You've got, of course, just the constant pressure coming from everybody on that defense. But more importantly, of course, we never are going to forget about some of our other guys out here. And that's the thing that I look at whenever I'm looking at this defense. Who's getting sacks? Who's getting pressure? Micah Parsons, really, in my opinion, wasn't as big of a dynamic game changer in this week. But I tell you what, there were some definite game changers in that interception in the fourth quarter there in the end zone at the end of the game. Just sealed the deal. There was no comeback left. The Bears lost.
For your first pick of the season, you know, it looks nice. But let me be clear here. This is not sustainable.
What we just did is definitely sustainable.
It's not. And you know it. I know as a Packers fan, you want to believe that they can sustain this type of energy going into their next
Our defense
games.
Has been great. What do you mean?
I see a fall coming. A nice little fall at that.
Well, here's the problem with that, sir. We'd be talking, it'd be different if we were talking about a team that was constantly on top, who had the number one ranked defense in the league. But we're not. We're talking about a defense who, admittedly, whilst their statistics are actually towards the bottom of the league, they've been more effective than most defenses at the top of the league. The thing that really hurts us is we drop games that we should have never dropped. But we win the games that, honestly, they don't think we're going to win. We swept the Lions. That wasn't supposed to happen. We're probably going to sweep the Bears, if we're being honest. I don't think they're going to get us in the, get us the next round. We face them, what, 2 weeks? So they're probably not getting us. And if they do, we still hold the tie with them. So we probably, as long as we win out, except for that game, we still probably take number one regardless of whether they win or lose. But at the end of the day, this was a game where Jordan Love did it better than Caleb Williams. And they, the running game, I mean, Josh Jacobs, he found the end zone. He didn't even hit 100 yards. He had 86 yards on 20 carries. It's not bad. Could have been better. But again, it was effective. We got 4 touchdowns to the Bears 3. At the end of the day, it was a very clean cut, straightforward game. Very Packers style in a divisional game that really carries a ton of weight going into the playoffs. This is one of those games that in the NFC, not just the NFC North, it means something because the Bears have been a dominant team this year. You've been hyping them up, and rightfully so. They've won a lot of games they should have never been in. They did not beat the Packers. That's a problem for the Bears. That's a great thing for Green Bay. Also, shout out to Christian Watson, by the way. I love to see him do his thing when he's healthy. 2 touchdowns. He got himself 2 touchdowns. That's not.
Hey, that was actually a nice performance. I'll give credit where credit's due. Christian Watson is definitely one of y'all's highlights.
Christian Watson, if he would stay healthy an entire season and consistently perform, I would put him up there as a top 10, maybe at worst top 15-ish receiver, because he's fast. He's got hands, and he can play very aggressive against an aggressive corner. So he showed that against the Lions. He made some crazy plays, and some of those looked like he was being held for sure. But he is very competitive. The problem is he is not able to stay on the field, and that's where we struggle. And our depth at receiver, while it's actually not bad, it's not where it needs to be. Romeo Doubs has been one of our key pieces at receiver, and the Bears held him. He got nothing. 0 on 2 targets. Jordan Love just found other targets to get the job done. Reed, Watson, I mean, Melton got himself 1 target, 1 catch on 2 targets, but he got a touchdown. So I think if we had Kraft out here.
So you think that Jordan Love can do that on a consistent basis to make it through these playoffs?
I think he can. The problem, and here's the thing, the problem isn't, so Jordan Love is an issue when the pressure's too much, right? Jordan Love, he doesn't excel when there's a lot of pressure in his face, really. I mean, the stats don't necessarily always line up with that because he's very careful with the ball. He doesn't throw a ton of interceptions. He really doesn't. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the league for that. But the problem is when he's under pressure, he doesn't take any risks typically. He's kind of Aaron Rodgers in that style. He kind of leans towards how Rodgers was. Rodgers would throw the ball away, or he would make some weird throw that was clearly never going anywhere. Jordan Love doesn't do the best under pressure, but when he is doing well, which he has been doing these last couple of weeks, the receivers have to make the plays. And that's the thing. He's going to put the ball in a tight window, and the receiver has to make the catch. Romeo Doubs has been one of our better receivers for that. And yeah, I just think that when I'm looking at our offense, okay, I look at a team that has the ability to score, and I look at our defense. I think our defense is great. It has the ability when everyone's getting the pressure on quarterbacks, you're getting sacks. This game only got Caleb Williams 1 time, but they also still got a decent amount of pressure on him. I think if we face them in the playoffs, if they somehow get in there, I think that's where we'll see which team really has it. I think this next game we play them, yeah. My opinion, Green Bay has a good chance in the playoffs.
Honestly, I can say I don't really want to bash this performance. This performance was great by Green Bay, and they deserve the win, which I can't say all the time. So, all in all, congratulations to Green Bay, but I do not think they're going to make it very far.
Okay, well, let's
moving on.
Your team. What's your game?
Moving on. The Bengals and the Bills, sir. This is football.
Okay.
When I talk about let's watch the football game, if y'all ain't coming out there dropping 40 points per, I'm not hearing it. You understand me? Look, I get it. The Bengals lost. Okay. Sad shame for me. Okay. I got you. But in this game, we got to see two elite quarterbacks actually play football. Do you understand me? 284 yards for Joe Burrow, 4 touchdowns. He threw 2 interceptions. But who cares when you threw 4 touchdowns? And then you got Josh Allen with 3 touchdowns, 22 for 28, 250 yards. Sir, this is what I call football. This is why I wanted to highlight this game. This is why I wanted to get into this game. When you break down, first off, somebody needs to talk about the Bills and the snow games, because this is the second year in a row they done been in a snow game and they done went absolutely bonkers.
It's Buffalo. They're okay? Used to it.
Bonkers, okay? It's like they are literally, they need the snow. Because I haven't seen a game like this from the Bills since the beginning of the season. I love every part of this game. When you look at Joe Burrow, I'm so glad he's back. Chase Brown with 2 touchdowns for himself. You got T. Higgins, his favorite target, with 2 touchdowns himself. We're looking at some greatness right here, and I just wish the Bengals would stay healthy, sir. If the Bengals would stay healthy, they would be a problem for any team. Any team. I know you don't agree, but any team that goes up against the Bengals as a healthy Bengals team is going to have an issue. They're going to have a workout. They're going to have a problem.
Josh Allen.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Just figured that out. He just ended up pulling it off.
I don't disagree with you on they are a problem for any team, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I 100% think that they, even at healthy, are still taking the Super Bowl.
Even at healthy, yes, they would.
It's their defense. Listen, I don't know how many times I'm going to say it. Games are won in the second half. They gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter. When you're in the fourth quarter and you have what they had, that when you're putting up 13 points as a team, right, they had 13 points in the fourth quarter, but your defense gives up 21. It is not sustainable. It cannot thrive, because here's the difference between this game and what we're talking about, the Packers and the Bears. The Packers were consistent. It was their offense that had to kind of kick it up in the end, but their defense remained consistent. The Bengals, they are not a consistent defense. This is why Joe Flacco couldn't turn it around for them, and he went nuts. Their defense will cost them a Super Bowl. That is why
I wouldn't say he went nuts. It was very decent, though. I wouldn't say he was going nuts, though. But all in all, my point is, I get it. They defense, a whole lot of teams need some defensive work. I'm saying, and I would put the Bengals up against any team. A healthy Bengals team with their defense that they got right now, with their offensive line that they got right now, a healthy Bengals team. That's all I need. I would put them up against any team.
Give them one or two more players on that defense that can get in there, that can pressure. I might would be more in agreement with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. They sacked Josh Allen three times, but the man ran for a touchdown and he threw for three. Josh Allen matched Joe Burrow, four touchdowns. You can't let a, you can't, as a defense, you cannot go up against a team like the Bills or any team that has a scrambling quarterback and give up touchdowns, because that is where you're going to fail. If we were to put the Eagles in the Super Bowl right now against the Bengals, I would probably still give them to the Bengals, but here's the thing.
They, I was about to say, you better not take anybody else but the Bengals.
Hear me out, though. That doesn't necessarily mean that I would say that the Eagles are out of it, because if they could make it to the Super Bowl, then they figured out what they need to do to win, right? Because you have to win every game in the playoffs. You can't drop one. So if the Eagles figured out how to do this and they got back to the Super Bowl and we put them up against the Bengals, there's a chance that the Eagles could take it. I would lean towards the Bengals because they have a better offense in many ways. And the Eagles defense has been, I don't even know what to say. They match what their offense will do. If their offense is poor, the defense is great. If the defense is poor, the offense is great. One or the other. They don't win games evenly. It's weird with them. The Bengals, they have to tighten up that defense. They have to get it ship shape if they want to get the ship. Because at the end of the day, the Bills beat them, and it was a high-scoring game. I'm not giving the Bills defense anything because the Bills defense has been horrible. It's cost them several games this year. You cannot give a team that has the offense that a team of the Bills offense, mind you, where they forced Cook to fumble twice and still lose the game. Unable to capitalize on key moments for their defense. They couldn't capitalize on key moments. Josh Allen, at the end of the day, he said, all right, we're going to put up 21 in the fourth quarters. Let's do it. And they won because they won in the second half. That's why the Bengals fell.
I can agree. Once again, I get that the Bengals lost. Honestly, that's not even what I'm highlighting. The Bengals is not what I'm trying to highlight in this game. The Bills isn't what I'm trying to highlight in this game. I'm trying to highlight this game as a collective, as a game that we all want to see. This was a game, sir. Gamey. You even had some defensive plays in there. Even though both defenses struggled, you had an interception return in there. You had everything that you wanted out of this game. You got tight end scoring. You got you got two touchdowns from your best receivers. You got your two touchdowns from a nice running back. You have everything in this game. And if I'm watching football, this is what I want to see. And I don't see you getting this game out of a Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts showdown. Well, I don't see you getting this out of Mahomes and Josh Allen. I see you getting this out of two quarterbacks that are both like score oriented. And all of these other teams are not. This is football for me, sir. This is what I love about football. This game right here.
Well, I'll leave it on that. I agree with you in that regard. So I'll leave it there. But at the same time, when you're in playoff season, when you're into that second half, and especially into the final couple of weeks of the NFL, your defense got to be on point. If your defense isn't on point, as good of a game as it is, if you're the Bengals right now or the Bills, every win matters, and the Bengals can't be dropping them. They can't. I mean, the Ravens are dropping.
No arguments here. No arguments here. So you're not getting an argument from me off of that. The Bengals definitely, and they don't even really have a real shot at, you know, being a playoff team this year. So it's not me trying to root for the Bengals in that way. It's just, I know what the Bengals are capable of just by how they play when they have all of the pieces on the field. Regardless of how flawed those pieces are, they show up, they perform, and they perform very, very well, sir. And nobody can take that away from me.
I give it to you. Okay. Well,
moving on, sir. I actually want, before you get into your next team, yes, I want to give a couple of honorable mentions real quick.
Yeah.
With the Dolphins and the Jets, the Dolphins showed out on the Jets, sir. And I don't really, this is why it's an honorable mention, because you know the Dolphins is always my team. but I had to keep them in the honorable mentions because it's the Jets. Please show out on the Jets, okay? The Jets have a way bigger issue than anybody else in the league right now. So honorable mention, 34-10, sir. That, we're talking about multiple touchdowns.
Yep.
Jeez Louise. And Tua only had to throw for one.
Yep. There's another shout-out I want to give. This is a game I wanted to talk about, but the score just made it so irrelevant in this capacity. That is the Jaguars and the Colts.
Hmm.
Sir, the Jaguars now sit.
I did not see the Jaguars doing that.
Yeah, I didn't either. But, hang on. The Colts are now talking about trying out Phillip Rivers. That's what I've seen. They're talking about Phillip Rivers potentially coming back to the Colts because Daniel Jones got himself hurt. So, unfortunately, that's probably going to hurt their season. However, shout out to the Jags. They got themselves a number one spot in the division off of a very much needed win against the Colts. So that would be my honorable mention because the Jaguars actually did really well and honestly kind of roasted the Colts. And a lot of that's because they lost Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Daniel Jones did leave early. So, you know, the Jaguars did get lucky behind, like, the offensive tip. But defensively, they should have still stepped up and kept the Jaguars scoreless. So the Jaguars definitely showed up and showed out. Okay. Period, point blank. But moving on to your next team, sir.
All right, sir. This is the game. I watched this game and completely and totally blown away by the outcome. The Kansas City Chiefs hosted the Houston Texans. It was a cold game. You could tell it wasn't very pleasant to be out there. And honestly, both teams really struggled to score. But the Chiefs, man, they didn't score any points in the first, second, or fourth quarter. They put up 10 in the third. They tied the game, and then the Texans put up 10 in the fourth quarter. Now, this game, one might say, well, this game ain't worth talking about, but it's actually a very, very important game because the Chiefs, one of the teams that I truly just, I don't like them. I don't know about everybody else that listens to this show, y'all, but how many of you all got so tired of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, whether they win or they lose? How about you, Will? How many times did you just get tired of it?
Sir, you know my history with football. I didn't even like football when I was a kid because I'm big and everybody expected me to play. But the one team and the one player that I always followed, Tom Brady.
Brady and the Patriots.
So I never got tired of seeing them in the Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in that sentiment.
I'll tell you this.
Bill Belichick, the Patriots, Tom Brady.
I got tired of it.
Legendary
is
I got you. And you're not the only one. There's a whole lot of people that feel like you. So, but I can't agree with you here, sir. Right. I am on that. I am in that category. 80 for Brady.
Okay. Well, see that, and that's one of the things I have with the Chiefs. I've gotten burnt out on them because at the end of the day, it's so annoying when you're like, all right, well, AFC, it used to be, well, here goes the Patriots. It's beginning of the year. I'm just going to go ahead and bet on the Patriots. And sure enough, then it became, oh, the reign of Brady is over. Here's Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and the mighty Chiefs. But this game, I think we've seen a lot, but there was still potential for them, right? So they still kind of played. But this game, I think we saw the Chiefs' spirit break. I watched Travis Kelce at the end of the game sitting on that sideline as they were wrapping it up, and you could see just the look of utter defeat on him. I think he probably honestly planned on coming in, getting another ring, and probably calling it a career, I would fathom. I mean, after all, you know, he's got Taylor Swift to go home to now. Money's not an issue. But the Texans did something to the Chiefs, and that is I think they broke their spirit. I believe after that game, they said maybe like a 16% chance of getting to the playoffs, and I mean, that would take a miracle for everything to go right for them.
Let me be clear. Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially with the Broncos leading that division, it's just not happening.
Let me be clear. I think the only problem that I have with the Chiefs is the commercialism.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Of them. That's the problem. I think that's the problem that a lot of people have with them. It stopped being a whole lot about football, and it started being about Travis Kelce and Mahomes and Andy Reid and Taylor Swift. Big on the Taylor Swift.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then you got the Kelce brothers you got them into the podcast and stuff like that. I feel like, and then the production on the field went down as all of this stuff is happening. Like, we were bigging them all up, and then the production on the field got shorter. Like, even though they made it to the Super Bowl last year, nobody really realized that they did it by the skin of their teeth. Why? Because the record was impeccable. They had an impeccable record.
Right.
But none of those games were actually good. I watched. I paid attention. I saw it. None of those games were good. You can count on one hand how many teams they actually dominated in that season last year. One hand with two fingers cut off. So when you're looking at where the problem is with the Chiefs, I don't think it's their gameplay at all. I think if they actually focused on the field, they would be successful still. They still have all their pieces. It's not like they lost anybody.
The pieces that they have, though, sir, that's part of the problem. Their running game is horrible. I mean, Mahomes was the rushing leader. 7 for 59, sir. How many times? We talk about sustainability. Patrick Mahomes was absolutely horrendous in every shape, form, or fashion in this game. 3 picks, not a single touchdown. There were receivers getting open. They were making catches, and then they would drop a catch. The Texans defense is a lot of the reason that this game went the way it did. Jalen Pitre, that man is a monster on the field. I mean, he was laying people out. He made a crazy whip around interception. He tipped the ball, went around the receiver and the defender, and caught the interception off of his own tip, right? But 3 interceptions. Mahomes looked defeated the entire game. I think with what you're saying and where it lines up and on parallels onto the field, right? The Chiefs are one of these teams. The players are is this team as a whole where it's almost like the expectation is that they're just going to continue to succeed regardless. And that's what it felt like. Mahomes was just, he was just throwing, thinking, all right, it's just going to happen, because it used to never matter. It happened. And in this game, it didn't just happen. In fact, it went the opposite way. I mean, there's nothing.
If I would have watched Noah Gray drop one more easy pass, this man dropped so many 5-yard passes. I don't know, like, how, bro? And he was wide open for him. He just wasn't making his routes. Like,
the defense,
he just
man
kept dropping him.
It's the defense. And so did Kelce. The dude only caught one of
four. I was speaking on Gray first. We're going to get to all of these. That whole game was actually bupkis from the Chiefs, sir. Whole game.
It was. But the Texas defense is part of the reason it was that way. It wasn't like, I mean, they pressured Mahomes, but it wasn't like they pressured him that much. I watched a lot of that where Mahomes was just having to run because there was nowhere to go downfield, and he was getting desperate. That's why he was the rushing leader for the game. I'm surprised he didn't get a touchdown. I mean, shout out to Kareem Hunt for getting in the end zone. But I mean, bro, there was nothing in this game.
There was a play. Ooh, I wish I would have rewound my TV so I could record it and we could clip it into this episode. There was a play. Mahomes got sacked. they replayed it, and because in my head I was like, I know there was an open man down there. They got all their players down here. Like, there had to be at least one open man, right? He froze. He didn't throw the ball. He just got sacked. But when they replayed it from a different angle, he had a wide open man. Nobody around him. I've seen Mahomes make toss catches for 30 yards, but tougher than that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He froze and didn't throw anything. He got sacked in that play. I wish I could have recorded it because I didn't understand what happened until they replayed it. He just froze.
Yep.
He didn't even try to throw it. And the announcers didn't even put a pinpoint on that. They talked about the how the line let up the sack. No, Mahomes had at least 3-4 seconds to throw that ball to that man. And he didn't do it. I think it was Marquise Brown, Hollywood. I think he had Hollywood open for the wide open 30-yard catch, and he did not throw it.
Well,
this is a issue for me because I feel like they focus so much on the promotion of the Chiefs and we're about to three-peat and all of this. They focus so much on that they didn't keep the game going. Like, they never thought that somebody was going to start reading what y'all like to do. You never thought that she was going to lose a good running back in Pacheco. Come on now. We got to plan ahead if we're talking about a dynasty.
Yeah.
Say what you want about the Patriots. The Patriots came in and got it done.
I give
on
you
every level that they could.
I think this is what separates the difference, and I will end my part on this when we're talking about the comparison. I think this is where Brady and Mahomes become separate. This is where you start to see the divide between a current and potentially oncoming GOAT, because let's be clear, he's got a lot of rings himself. Mahomes is going to be one of the GOATs for sure, but the thing about it is Brady made magic happen with less than what Mahomes has. Brady made magic happen with middle of the pack receivers sometimes almost no running game. The offensive line could be garbage. That defense could be terrible. Brady made magic with something out of nothing. And even though I don't like Brady, I never cared for him. I didn't care for the Patriots and Bill Belichick. They found a way to make something happen and they never got defeated. And Brady got his boys together. Mahomes, I've noticed this year, especially as we're getting to where we are now, it does not happen. Mahomes looks defeated. He's looking over there like, why? What? Like, he's looking at, he'll go to the sideline and he's looking up watching the replay on the board like, nah, how'd that happen? Bro, you throw 3 interceptions and no touchdowns and you're wondering, how did it happen? Like, no. This is not the receiver's fault. This isn't the running back's fault. This isn't even the offensive line or the defense's fault. This is Mahomes' problem. And Andy Reid's problem. They are not gathering the troops. They're not rallying them up and saying, hey, let's get it. He gave up. His spirit went out the window and he's realized that the pieces that he has, that they're not staying healthy. They're not consistent. And it's like Mahomes is in that mindset now of like, he just thinks it's going to happen regardless of where he puts the ball, sir. So Brady made magic. Mahomes right now is not. And I think that's where the legendary status will begin to divide. That's kind of my thought until the bitter end for Brady. I mean, and he went out on a good note, really. But until the bitter end, Brady did something. Mahomes, this could be where you see his career turn and take the swan dive.
It very well could, but I think he could turn it around. But they have to lock in. I don't care what you say about Brady and Gronk and all. When you're talking about goats, you don't see goats all in the music videos dancing,
yep,
partying. You see them on the field performing at their highest level. You didn't start seeing Brady and Gronk's face until they retired. And then they came back and got another one, okay? this is what goats do.
You know,
okay? And I want to see, if we're talking about Mahomes being one of the greats, which of course we already are, he's going to have to step it up for the rest of this time. I'm sorry. You know, otherwise, he's not going to have that same record.
I agree. And you know, real quick. I think of quarterbacks because it wasn't until probably what would I say probably within the last maybe 7 or 8 years, give or take, have we seen a lot of commercialism with some of these guys. I think of Johnny Manziel. That man came into the league. Yes, he got drafted by Cleveland, where quarterbacks go to die, but he got drafted by Cleveland. He came in, and what was one of the first things he did, and it kind of really got big when he did it, almost cost Baker his career, really. He started into the advertising and the commercialism and everything that everything he could get. And when he did that, you immediately started to see how quickly that just took over everything. It became more about the advertisement than the on-field play. And I think that is where, and I agree with you, that is where we are seeing some of these guys that are just falling off, even if they're supposed to be great.
Killing the Chiefs. It is killing the Chiefs.
Too much hype.
Like, tell Travis Kelce to take that hoop earring out of his ear and get to playing ball. All right?
Bro, he put a ring on his finger. He needs to do better for her. I'm just saying.
I'm sick. Stop zooming in on Taylor Swift every time he catches the ball.
Exactly.
How about that? Can we stop going all the way up to the stands every time he catches the ball? Not for, just for touchdowns. Every time he catches the ball, they go up there to Taylor Swift and she's, sit down. They're losing.
I agree. Well, let's hear about your boy. I know you're getting ready to get into it.
Boy, this is why I saved it for last.
Yep.
This is football. Once again, and I'll say that this was the best game of the week. I don't care what you're talking about. Let's talk about Cam Ward first. First off, Cam Ward, he only threw for 117, but he had 2 touchdown passes, sir. Yeah. 2 touchdown passes in the INT, and they still pulled this game out. But the real star of the Titans, the reason why they pulled this game out, Tony Pollard.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. 161 yards off 25 carries and 2 touchdowns. Torched them. He torched them, sir. And you can't really take anything from the Titans in this game. But, of course, my only concern is Shedeur Sanders. 364 yards, sir. 3 touchdowns.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's be clear, sir. And he was the rushing yards leader. And he had a rushing touchdown. So that's 4 TDs. Strictly for Shedeur Sanders. You want to tell me again why that man had to be humble coming into the league?
Sir,
tell me again why.
I'm going
to
say
didn't he need to be humbled by a team that's clearly stupid? Because if we're talking about a team as a whole and a coach as a whole, Kevin Stefanski took a man that had thrown for 364 yards and 3 touchdowns out of the game.
Whoa. Hold on, sir. Hold on.
Let's go. I want to hear this.
Let's dial you down about 5 notches, sir. We're talking about.
I'm not dialing down nothing. I'm keeping this.
He performed against one of the worst teams in the league. I would expect.
Yep, I wanted to hear that.
Door to be as good as you say he is. I would expect these type of numbers. I will stand on what I said until next year. And next year, we will talk about it again, and I will probably have a different view on Shedeur. But this year, this game, this Shedeur Sanders game, I would expect any quarterback should be able to have this type of performance against one of what actually, at this point, the worst team in the NFL. The Titans.
But you were telling me last week that he deserved to be seconded to Dylan Gabriel.
I didn't say
he Dylan Gabriel.
Nope, nope. What I said is he needed to be humble. He didn't deserve to be second.
He did not.
He did.
Why did he need to be humbled?
Listen,
please let me know.
I told you already, but listen. This is why it worked. The Browns were not going anywhere this year. They knew this. And I guarantee you have a healthy, fresh Shador who's getting his reps in, who's showing up, showing out. This year was not going to be the Browns' year. They don't have the team for it. Again, they did it the right way. And I don't see anything bad with this game. It was a phenomenal game. They still lost, but it was a great game by Shador. But again,
because Kevin Stefanski's gambling, that's what it is. We're gonna go ahead and call it like we see it on this one. That man has to be putting some type of money on the line. You don't make a call like that at the end of a game if you're not, like, you put a running back in, a running back that's never thrown the ball, never ran this play before, to throw it in to win the game. Okay. Yep, we're not talking about this, right? He took Shador Sanders, who had an epic game, and let's be clear, they didn't do this to Shador to make sure that they had a fresh quarterback.
No,
they
no.
did this because this was a whole gang up on somebody that really they didn't like his daddy. So they didn't like him automatically. That's crazy. That's incredibly insane. And I don't care what anybody says, you want this out of any quarterback. Any of his games, you would go for any of these. Period. And when he could have had his first win on the season.
Well, he's had a win.
I mean, his first real win, sir. The one that they put on the little stat sheets. They call him out. Come on, bro.
Look, I'm not saying
they take him out. They put him on the bench, sir. Why would you put a winning quarterback on the bench? He could have pulled that game out. He could have. I'm not going to say he would have. He could have. But you put it in a running back's hand to run some weird trick play that was never going to work.
Look, I'm not saying that was the right call. And in this particular case, I'm in agreement. This is where it goes back to the Browns being the Browns. This isn't anything to do with Shador. This was just a terrible play call. Shador would have been the logical decision. If you're going to throw that ball and you're going to make a play happen, the way the Browns played this game, Shador excelled. But Stefanski's ability to coach is obviously in question. And I would fathom he won't be the coach of the Browns come next year. If he does, I'd be shocked. But I
hope the guy not.
Going back to Shador, sir, this wasn't a coaching decision in and of itself. This isn't just the coach that makes the call on who's starting and who's not. This is an upper management situation. And I could guarantee that what I say probably is accurate.
That's why I said that's why I just said this was a whole league gang up. I didn't say that this was just the Browns. I said this is the whole league ganged up on this. Fifth round, sir? Fifth round is absolutely insane. I don't care what anybody says. What? Insane for a quarterback that performed the way that Shador Sanders did last year in college. Period. Point blank.
The problem that I still have with that, at the end of the day, Shador didn't win a championship. You can't. Look,
neither did Ward,
but you also when it comes down to it, Cam Ward, he got drafted to a worse team than the Browns. He got drafted to the Titans. And let's be clear, Tony Pollard just some reason decided to have an amazing game. Don't know where it came from, but this game should have been the Browns. This should have been the Browns. Their defense did not do what they needed to do. I mean, let's be clear. Myles Garrett did not.
I would give it to you. I promise. I would not be arguing with you. But that last play of the game is what lost the game. That's period, point blank. even though the defense didn't do what they were supposed to do, even though the offense could have been better, even though Shador could have done this or could have done that, regardless, at the end of the game, that was a winnable game.
Miles Garrett.
And it got blown.
Miles Garrett did not perform on defense. That defense was rough. And at the end of the day, if we look at the score line
by one person,
that game was won in the second half, and it's unfortunate because honestly, I was rooting for Cleveland to win this game. I really thought they were going to win. I think the Titans they should have even tried. If I were the Titans, I would have gave this game up. I would tank out just to ensure you got number one. I would do whatever it took to secure a number one pick. I mean, the Titans desperately need a lot of help on both sides of the ball. And winning a pointless game for no reason is almost... it just should have never happened. I think Shador is capable of being great. I think he's capable of going the distance at some point in his career, not with Cleveland, because again, Cleveland just doesn't ever make the right decisions. But they drafted Shador. He got drafted when it looked like he was about to go undrafted. To be clear, he was about to go undrafted, sir. And the Browns grabbed him up for no apparent reason other than what I was saying at the beginning. They have a long-term plan in place. And that is what is happening. And it's happened quickly, maybe even a little faster than I thought. But I even said that by the end of the year, I could see Shador being the starter. And look where we are. I said that from the beginning, I stand on it. And I think Shador might be one of the best players that they're going to have in the next year or two, as long as he's there with them, if he stays healthy. But they didn't break him early. Dylan Gabriel, done. His career pretty much at this point, I think, is going to fade into the darkness, right? Joe Flacco is gone. He's a veteran. It don't matter. Joe Flacco was there and then he wasn't. No one's going to sweat it. His career is not going to be tainted by it. Shador, he came in at the end of the season, got his starts on a team that was already done. They're busted. They're over. But he showed that he has potential. So now, next season, he's got some games under him. He knows what the losses feel like. He knows what he's dealing with. Now they can begin to build around Shador and give him what he needs. They've answered the question, who's going to be the starter, Gabriel or Shador? I don't doubt that next year Shador is number one. I don't doubt that Shador is probably going to have an amazing year as long as he stays healthy. And as long as they do the right thing and give him some extra help, he's got Judkins. He's got Jerry Jeudy. He needs at least one more good receiver. Get himself somebody young. Grab one of them Ohio State fellas. Throw him out there with him. I think we see a Cleveland Browns that could be scary. That defense, they need to get ready for the loss of Miles Garrett because that's coming. That man's getting old. He ain't young no more in football. But they got one or two more good years of him, I think. I think we're talking about the Browns now because the Browns are starting to – now suddenly they're popping. When they were to Dylan Gabriel, nobody really cared. Shador's out. Now the question in the air is, will he be great or will he not? These type of games, even in a loss, they show that he can keep up and he can play. But this was against the Titans. And this is where my problem with Shador in this game, and it's not really with Shador, it's really with the Browns, actually. It was with the Browns. My problem is they lost to the Titans. The Browns lost to the Titans. No matter what Shador did, the Browns continue to fail. This is where they have to make the right decisions for next year and build around Shador.
Well, you all, we're going to call it at that. It's been another great episode of Beyond the Numbers. Ben, you got any final thoughts?
I do. We always talk about sports. We love it. I know we haven't talked about one of our... one of the brands that we advertise in a couple of episodes, and that is, of course, Aspire. I want to quickly remind everybody, use the promo code BEYOND. Get yourself a nice little discount. And, gives you the energy. It gives me the energy to keep doing these. I don't know about you, Will. You still getting them?
Yes, sir.
That's right. I highly recommend giving them a look. They're healthy. They don't leave you feeling all wore out and tired. Yes, we get paid to talk about this, but what it's worth, we keep talking about them for a reason, because they are actually good. And just like they may not be the best, I think we could compare them to Shador right now. They have potential. Who knows? Maybe next year they'll be the best.
He's the best rookie quarterback out right now.
Okay.
See you guys. Peace.